1, chapter 7, Son of Drona punished, text number 10. Sutu vacha,
Sutu vacha,
Atmarama,
Atmarama,
cha,
cha,
Munaya,
Munaya,
Nigranta,
Nigranta,
Api,
Api,
Urukrame,
Urukrame,
Kurvanti,
Kurvanti,
Ahaitukim,
Ahaitukim,
Bhaktim,
Bhaktim,
Uitam,
Itam,
Buddha,
Buddha,
Gana,
Guna,
Hari,
Hari,
Sutu Vacha,
Sutu Vacha,
Atmaramascha Munayo,
Atmaramascha Munayo,
Nirganta Apyurukrame,
Nirganta Apyurukrame,
Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim,
Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim,
Itam Buddha Gano Hari,
Itam Buddha Guna Hari,
Sutavacha.
Sutavacha.
Sutta Goswami said,
Sutta Goswami said,
Atmarama.
Atmarama.
Those who take pleasure in Atma,
those who take pleasure in Atma,
generally spirit self,
generally spirit self,
cha, also, munaya, sages, nirgranta,
freed from all bondage,
api, in spite of, urukrame, unto the great adventurer, kurvanti, do, ahai tukim, unalloyed, Bhaktim, devotional service, Itam,
Buddha,
such wonderful,
Guna,
qualities,
Hari,
of the Lord. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the different varieties of Atmaramas, or it should be Atmarama, those who take pleasure in Atma, or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, although free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So this, that S at the end of Atmarama means it's just plural. All the different varieties of Atmaramas. Somehow or another, the Sanskrit editors thought if you add an S to a Sanskrit word, it makes it plural for some reason. Those who take pleasure in the Atma or spirit self. Especially those established on the path of self-realization, though free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. It's supposed to be part of a Bhakti Vaibhava course, is that right?
Yes.
So, how are you studying for the Bhakti Vaibhava course? What does this verse have to in relationship to that?
Well, we are just like gradually going through Bhagavatam, we are in this part of first canto.
So, you're just going through the first canto?
Oh, yes.
So, you just happen to come up to this verse, is that it? So it's just like a regular Bhagavatam class. What's the difference between this and a regular what's the difference between a Bhakti Vaibhava class and a regular Srimad Bhagavatam class?
Yeah, basically there is no difference.
What, a fancier title or something? People won't come to Srimad Bhagavatam, but they'll come to Bhakti Vaibhava. Is that it, basically? What time are you going to make that tea?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, it's okay. Make tea.
Yeah. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmarama sloka very vividly before his chief devotee, Srila Sanatan Goswami. He points out 11 factors in the sloka. So, anyone, it's namely Atmarama, it's just the words, all the words are one of the factors. Munaya, 2, Unaya, 3, Nigranta, 4, Api, 5, Cha, 6, Urukrama, 7, Korvanti, 8, Ahaitukim, 9, Bhaktim, 10, Itam Bhuta Gana, and 11, Hari. According to the Vishwa Prakasha Sanskrit Dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word Atmarama, which were as follows. One, Brahman. Two, the absolute truth. Two, the body. Three, the mind. Four, endeavor. Five, endurance. Six, intelligence. And 7, personal habits. So what are these? How many definitions are there for synonyms for Brahman? Yes.
7.
What are they?
Absolute truth.
Endurance.
What does that mean?
Endeavor also. Endurance? Driti. To last. To endure. To be determined. To carry through. So, how many did you get?
4.
Endeavor? What else?
Mind, body, and absolute truth.
So the 7, Brahman, the body, the mind, the endeavor, endurance, intelligence, and personal habits. The word munaya refers to, 1, those who are thoughtful, those who are silent and grave, 3, ascetics, 4, the persistent, 5, mendicants, 6, sages, and 7, saints. So what are the 7 definitions for munaya? What is one definition? Yes.
Sages.
Yeah, sages and saints. 2 S's.
That's good.
One of the other one is thoughtful, those who are thoughtful. Those who are silent, grave and silent. Ascetics, persistent, the persistent, the mendicants, sages and saints. The word Nigranta conveys these ideas. 1, who is liberated from nations. 2, those who have no connection with scriptural injunctions. That is, who is free from the obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures, like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate, urchins, etc., who have no connection with regulative principles. 3, a capitalist, and also one who is penniless. So what are the definitions for, what is a penniless, a capitalist, one who is free from all scriptural injunctions? Which word is this the definition of? Yes. Nigranta. What is the word for scripture? Yes. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So Granta means scripture and Nira means the negation. According to the Shabda Kosha Dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of, so this is the ni for the Nigranta. 1, certainly, certainty. 2, counting. 3, building. and four forbiddens. And the word granta is used in the self sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. So the granta obviously has something to do with vocabulary. A thesis. The word urukrama means the one whose activities are glorious. Krama means step. This word urukrama specifically indicates the Lord's incarnation who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful, and activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the Supreme Truth. And in his personal feature, he is always present in his transcendental abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes and all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else's, and therefore the word urukrama is just applicable to him only. So what does krama mean, Madhuri? What does krama mean? Yes. Step. According to the Sanskrit verbal arrangement, koravanti refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore, it means that atmaramas render devotional service unto the Lord, not for personal interest, but for the pleasure of the Lord, urukrama. Hetu means causal. There are many causes for one's sense satisfaction, and they can be chiefly classified as material, enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation. So what are the three things mentioned here for one's self-satisfaction? Munirash.
Liberation, mystic powers.
What are most people engaged in? Yeah, material enjoyment. Which are generally desired by progressive persons. So generally people start out wanting material enjoyment, the karmis. The only way of actually getting material enjoyment is through following the Vedic scriptures. Otherwise, one simply suffers. There's no material enjoyment even. And then, after getting some knowledge, one learns how to manipulate the material world. That's called mystic power. And then after seeing the futility of manipulating the material world, one wants liberation. One wants to go to another place which is more enjoyable than even mystic powers, obtaining mystic powers. As far as material enjoyments are concerned, they are innumerable, and the materialists are eager to increase them more and more because they are under the illusory energy. There is no end to the list of material enjoyments, nor can anyone in the material universe have all of them. As far as the mystic powers are concerned, they are eight in all, such as to become the minutest in form, to become weightless, to have anything one desires, to lord over the material nature, to control other living beings, to throw earthly globes in outer space, etc. These mystic powers are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The forms of liberation are five in number. Therefore, the unalloyed devotional service to the Lord without desire for the above-mentioned personal benefits, And the powerful personality of Godhead can be fully satisfied by such unalloyed devotees free from all sorts of desires for personal benefit. So what word is being described here? Yes?
First, there were these different causes for material enjoyment.
No. Which word in this verse is being described?
Ahaitu.
Yeah, Ahaitu Kim. Unalloyed devotional service to the Lord progresses in different stages. Practice of devotional service in the material field is of 81 different qualities. Where do the 81 different qualities come from? Yes.
Maharaj, are there different permutations of the gunas?
Yes. 3 times 3 is 9. And 9 times 9 is 81. And above such activities is the transcendental practice of devotional service, which is one and is called sadhana bhakti. When unalloyed practice of sadhana bhakti is matured into transcendental love for the Lord, the transcendental loving service of the Lord begins gradually developing into 9 progressive stages of loving service under the headings of attachment, love, affection, feeling, affinity, adherence, following, ecstasy, and intense feelings of separation. So where does these different words come from? Yes.
They are the platforms after prema.
Yes. Which are? Prema is the first one. Then comes sneha, affection. I don't know what is the word he used here. Oh. Well, actually, they started with attachment, which is... should be... asakti. But then they jump over to love, which is prema, affection, sneha, feelings, pranaya, affinity, raga, so it's raga, it's prema, and sneha, pranaya, counter-affection, and bhava, raga, bhava, and mahabhava. The attachment of an inactive devotee develops up to the state of transcendental love of God. Attachment of an active servitor develops up to the state of adherence. And for that of a friendly devotee develops up to the state of following. And the same is, so, raga, anuraga. So somehow or another they have, probably translators, anuraga is following. And the same is also the case for the parental devotees. Devotees in conjugal love develop ecstasy up to the state of intense feelings of separation. These are some of the features of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. According to Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, the import of the word itam bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss in the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by a calf's hoof. It is nothing compared to the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all tastes, rasas. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation. There is no need of logical arguments in support of this statement, but out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality, and another is attracted by another. Great sages such as the 4 bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves anointed with the pulp of sandalwood offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Shukadeva Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts, in special cases, the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of the elderly ladies by parental affection. He attracts the minds of the males in the humors of servitude and friendship. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that he, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be freed from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee. And the result of 9 devotional activities, such as hearing and chanting, becomes manifested. By his personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee, such as the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any one of the 4 principles of religion. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord, and adding to the words api and cha, one can increase the imports unlimitedly. According to the Sanskrit dictionary, there are 7 synonyms for the word api. So by interpreting each and every word of the sloka, one can see unlimited numbers of the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attracts the mind of a pure devotee. Atmaramas chamunayo nirgranta yadarukrame korvantya haitikim bhaktim itambuddha kano hari. All different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Among Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai, Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarane. Being the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. Our introduction, besides the sages of Namasharanya and the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, inquiring from Suta Goswami, different questions. But all these questions are considered to be glorious, because they're all about Lord Krishna. And in the 7th chapter, it's being discussed about how is it that Vyasadeva was despondent even after compiling all the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature gives us an opportunity to know perfectly how to live in the material world, to avoid material distress, and to get the maximum amount of material happiness. So how is it that such a great sage as Vyasadeva, who was so expert at the 4 principles of religiosity, namely Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, how is he was despondent? What was the problem? What was he missing? As we know, in the 4th and 5th chapters, Narada Muni appears and he describes his own life, how he was just an ordinary, first he was a Gandharva, and somehow or another during a spiritual festival he fell into Maya and he was cursed by the other demigods to take birth as a Shudra. And as a Shudra he had the good fortune of associating with great devotees, Bhaktivedantas, and by associating with them, by taking their prasadam and hearing them explain Krishna conscious philosophy, he became purified in heart and also learned the technique or the art of focusing his consciousness upon Krishna. And he suggested that Srila Vyasadeva do the same thing, focus his attention upon Krishna. And so Srila Vyasadeva, after hearing instructions from his spiritual master, bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihita male apaishat purusham puranam yoga chad tadahaitukam. Mayam tad apashraya. He sat there and bhakti yogena manasi, with a pure mind, he began to meditate upon Lord Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak. So yak, just like yoga, yoga, and sam means completely. He completely fixed his mind upon Krishna. Pranihite malay, without any amala, without any sinful desire or thought, without any material contamination, he was able to completely absorb himself in thoughts about Krishna. Apaishat purusham purnam. And then he saw the complete personality of Godhead, mayam cha tadapaishrayam. And in the background, in the back of Krishna was maya, under Krishna's full control. Therefore, Vyasadeva realized that maya, which he was describing perfectly, was not the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is ultimately to know Krishna. Vedaischa savara hameva vedyo Vedanta vid vedakrit eva chaha. That everything that one learns in the material world culminates in understanding our relation with the personality of Godhead. And because he didn't describe that, yasamohite jiva atmanam trigunatmakam puropima nite narada tatkritam apripadyate chapi cha bipadyate tatkritam cha bipadyate. Therefore, the living entities, ourselves included, we're yaya samohito jiva, we're completely bewildered. Instead of worshipping Krishna, we've taken up the worship of our material bodies and senses. Not only do we like our bodies, everything about it, somehow or another, we're very concerned about the well-being of our body. Our service attitude has been misdirected or redirected towards a material body, and everyone likes their body. Isn't that right? Generally speaking. And we want to render service to the body. We want to feed it, we want to clothe it, we want to worship it, we look at our body, we become very happy to see it. Although the body is a prison for the soul, and it's torturing us in so many different ways, but still, due to our unalloyed service attitude towards the body, we don't mind. You can embrace me, you can leave me brokenhearted, you can trample on me, it doesn't matter. I'm your worshipful devotee, birth after birth. This, of course, is called madness. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya aprinoti nasadamanye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshida ashadeha. Arjuna Shabdev doesn't think this is such a good idea to serve this material body because it produces so many miseries and is only temporary. But as long as one is not in Krishna consciousness, one will have to serve something because our constitutional nature is to be a servant. If we're not servants of Krishna, then we have to become a servant of the illusory energy. And the illusory energy means we have to get a body and worship it, serve it. Whether the body of a demigod, the body of a dog, the body of a plant, we have to get some kind of material body and we have to engage in service to it. We have no choice. That's our eternal position. The difference is that while we're in the material world, that we're imagining that we're the masters here. We're imagining that our present body is the master of something, but actually the present body, it is not a master of anything, it is the servant of everything, and we're the servant of the present body. The alternative is to find out about Krishna. Yasamoite jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. If we don't, then we have to suffer the threefold miseries. That's the problem with having a material body, is that we're suffering. You can just look around the room, see the different modes of nature, especially ignorance, how we're completely distracted from hearing. Hearing is a mode of goodness. So even the mode of goodness is not very prominent in this age. We can't control our senses enough, our mind enough, to hear. Instead, the mode of ignorance takes over, our eyes close, and we're just in Never Never Land. Or, if we're in passion, then we're looking around the room trying to figure out, you know, what's here for me to enjoy. I can't enjoy the class because it's not encouraging me to enjoy the material world, which is my basic goal. So let me look around, maybe the chandelier, see if I can find some dust on it or something. Anything but hear this class, which is going to tell me I can't enjoy, but I want to enjoy. I didn't come to the Hare Krishna movement not to enjoy. I came here to learn how to enjoy. I couldn't do it in the material world, so now I'm going to learn it through the heart, through this profound philosophy, which is going to teach me how to control others in the material world, how to develop all the nice qualities so I can control others and then enjoy. But only in the mode of goodness can we actually begin to hear and listen. And when we hear, we'll find out that right now we're not in a very good situation. We have a very auspicious material situation in the sense that we have a human form of life and we have an opportunity to utilize it to make some spiritual advancement, but to get out of the bodily concept of life. And all these thoughts about how we're going to become happy in the material world, all the anxieties about what's going to happen to my body, they're just a waste of time. It's not that we should not try to provide the best possible future so that we can be fixed in Krishna consciousness. But to endlessly and needlessly worry about how I'm going to become happy in the material world and how I can avoid suffering in the material world, it's just a waste of time. Called Shrava Eva Hi Kevala. We should think how to make plans so I can fix my mind upon Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, under any circumstance. Samavite jiva atmakam trigunatmakam. Otherwise, then we have to suffer the threefold miseries. Hankering for material happiness is miserable, and lamenting over past mistakes is miserable. Anxiety is miserable. Paropi manite naratam, and that's because we're engaged in so many unnecessary, needless activities. The whole world is distracted by movies, by running after a sex life, by running after different varieties of material enjoyment, by playing all kinds of needless, endless sports with no basis, no progression, no self-discovery, simply anartha, things that are not supposed to be done, that are not beneficial, they're not progressive, they're not enlivening or enlightening ultimately. Tatkritam chapi padyate. So this tatkritam, by their own activities, just like in the verse, shushusho, or that tat sadam, that's not right either. Tat tenu kampam susamikshamano, bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Tatkritam, by our own activities. By our own activities, we're entangled in the material world. It's not that we can blame anyone else upon for our present situation. It is not that our consciousness is 100% dependent on external factors or even internal factors. Although, in order to make progress, we have to take shelter of spiritual factors. But it's not that I can blame my material situation on spiritual factors, nor can I blame it on anyone else's material factors. It's my own atma-kritam, tat-kritam, cha-pipadyate. By my own activities, by my desires, I've influenced Krishna in order to create my present circumstances through his material nature. Krishna did not want to come to create the material world. It was not his desire. He's doing so on behalf of the living entities who desire to be independent of him. And my desire to be independent of him has manifested itself as his present body. And as long as one is interested in karma, as Krishna says, Adibhuta shiro bhava purushascha vidaivitam adijagnaham eva cha dehe deha britam vara. Adibhuta shiro bhava adijagnaham eva tra dehe smin purusha para karma sar. Let's see. Bhuta bhava bhava karo isarga karma sangitaha. That Buddha bhava bhava karo. Buddha bhava udbhava. That activities which lead to the development of different material bodies are called karma. So as long as my desires are aimed at avoiding unpleasant circumstances and trying to get the most favorable material circumstance, whether by karmic activities or vikarmic activities, or jnana or yoga or anything else, then I have to come back and get the circumstance, the situation, to enjoy or suffer. It may be considered progressive to get a good material circumstance, just like the devotees, people can understand. They think, well, the devotees are dropouts. They couldn't make it in the material world. They're half mad anyhow. And they're satisfied just like jumping up and down all the time like mad people. So just leave them alone. They don't seem to harm very much, although they're not doing anything progressive or productive. But just leave them alone. And if you feel compassionate, throw them a few coins. They'll dance higher for your amusement. They'll jump higher. So people they can't conceive of anything else other than fruitive activities, either for sinful activities or progressive material activities. But whether it be jnana or karma or yoga or astanga or whatever else, it will simply produce another material body. That's called karma. Buddha bhava bhava karma prasang Buddha bhava bhava Buddha bhava bhava bhavam bhavam visaga karma samgitaha Buddha bhava bhava bhavam visarga karma. So visarga means creation, karma sangita means call. So this is called karma. Buddha bhava bhava bhavam. So the creation of different types of material bodies, called Buddha, Bhavam, the creation of them, or Udbhavam, the creation of them, Visarga's creation, is called karma. But the alternative is to become conscious of Krishna. And Krishna has so many unlimited qualities, which is what this verse is all about, that he can attract everyone. Therefore, he's called Krishna. The question was being raised, why is it that Shukadeva Goswami, who was absorbed in Brahman, was able to give up his trance to Brahman and take up Krishna consciousness? Because in Brahman, one is not conscious of so many qualities. Generally, the impersonalist they see material qualities all wind up in the same place, namely sense gratification. We manifest the different material qualities just to enjoy gross or subtly senses, sense gratification. But the result of sense gratification is always miserable. The more one avoids sense gratification, then the more he becomes happy. Although currently people have it's advertised, the more you enjoy sense gratification, the more happy you'll become. But it's just the opposite. The sense gratification appears to be like pleasure at the beginning. Vishayendriya samyoga yatara agre mritopama parinami vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smritam. That vishayendriya samyoga, the contact of the senses with their objects, tadagre, in the beginning, amritopamam, it appears to be just like nectar. But pariname, in the end, it is just like poison. Pariname, visham. Tatsukham rajasam smritam. So that happiness is known as in the mode of passion, as opposed to the mode of goodness. Tad agre vishamiva pariname vishotama tatsukam satvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadabhya. That which in the beginning, vishamiva is just like poison, and at the end is just like nectar, is said to be happiness in the mode of good, which is awakens well into self-realization. It's said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. And then, of course, there's happiness in the mode of ignorance. That which in the beginning and the end, yadagre chanu anu bande cha, sukamatmanam mohanam, nidralasya pramadoktam tamasamudaritam. That which in the beginning and the end is blind to the process of self-realization, which is based upon sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of ignorance. So nowadays, people are getting dissatisfied with happiness in the mode of passion, so they've become enthusiastic about the mode of ignorance. And now the bars, the brothels, so many different sinful activities, they're considered normal, that you're a good person if you're engaged in these things. That if you can avoid so much hassle making money and just sink into the mode of ignorance, if you try to avoid making too many arrangements for your sense gratification and just enjoy what's ever available, then that's very intelligent, they think. Just like the hawk. He doesn't make a big endeavor for economic development. He just eats whatever is available. He has sex with anything that moves. He sleeps anywhere. And whatever defense, he doesn't learn any martial arts. He just, whatever he can, he tries to defend with. So people think that this is very nice. If you can enjoy anywhere, anything, then this is quite progressive. Save you so much time and energy. But this is not what's being recommended, that those who are atmaramas, those who are free from all material affinity, how is it that they, such a devotee as a personality as Shukadeva Goswami, became attracted to Krishna? So that's what this verse is about, simply to explain to us that Krishna doesn't have ordinary qualities like we have. He's not manifest in the material body out of the material nature in order to enjoy some kind of material sense gratification. The Mayavadis, they say that impersonal Brahman as a pastime manifests itself as Narayan in order to enjoy creating the material world. The chief Mayavadi philosopher Sankaracharya, he claims Narayana Paro Vyaktat, that Narayan is above the material creation. And he doesn't believe that Narayan is real. Although he's above the material creation, He's not the same kind of, he's an illusion. But he's not the same illusion. They make differentiation between different types of illusion. He's the illusion that created this illusion. Although ultimately he's an illusion also, so don't take him too seriously. But he's a special category of illusion which we ultimately disregard when we find reality. But we don't agree with that, that when Lord Krishna comes, Ajopi San Avyatma Bhutanam Ishvaropi San Prakritim Swamadishtaya Sambhavam Yatma Maya, that he comes in Atma Maya, in his own body, his internal energy. He manifests the body from his own nature. In other words, he comes in his original form. He doesn't acquire a material body to appear before us. When the 1/10,000th of the size of Tipiharan size soul comes into the world, if he disappears as 1/10,000th of the size of Tipiharan size person, no one would take him very seriously because they couldn't even see him. If he kept on hearing this voice, "Here I am." I was looking, "Where are you?" "I'm right here, can't you see me?" And you get out your electronic microscope and you can't see him. You say, "I'm sorry, can't see you." It would be quite disturbing. We couldn't do very much here. Because we're generally, you know, blade of grass would be just like the Twin Towers to us. It's 1/10,000th the size of Tipiharan size. Soul looks up and sees, "Wow, what's that huge building?" And then his friend says, "Well, that's a blade of grass." So we're relatively small. And therefore, in order to have some kind of meaningful illusion in this world, we're given material bodies to manifest our desire to be the Lord somewhere, to imagine ourselves to be Lords. But Krishna doesn't have to do that. He comes in his spiritual body as himself, and he manifests unlimited spiritual qualities, some of which are mentioned here. And in the Nectar Devotion, the 64 qualities of Krishna manifest are mentioned. Some of them the jivas have to a minute degree, 50 of them. Four of them, personalities such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, manifest to a limited degree. Four of them, only Narayan and Vaikuntha manifest along with Krishna. And four of them, only Krishna and Balaram manifest in Goloka Vrindavan. In any case, we should learn about these qualities and find out why Krishna is so attractive, why Krishna is more attractive than our present dead body. Although we may think, "What does Krishna have to do with me? I'm in love with my body. It's good enough. I have this eternal rasa with my body. And why should I become attracted to anything else? I'm enjoying now this body. And in the future, by technological advancement, by so much cultivation of knowledge, by fruit of activities, I'm going to enjoy even more. And even if I believe in spirit, still the fact is that after leaving this body, I'll even get a better body to fall in love with. I'll get the body of a demigod. And I'll really enjoy it. Now I'm having a few difficulties here and there because it's Kali Yuga. But when I go up to the heavenly planets, then I'll get the perfect demigod, or I'll get the perfect apsara, and every life will be perfect for an unlimited number of years. But whether it's the demigod body, or the human body, or the worm body, or the plant body, these are all material bodies manifested from the energy of Krishna, and they all have their limitations. But Krishna's body has unlimited pleasure. There is no pleasure in any material body anywhere within the material universe, but Krishna's body has unlimited pleasure. So we have a choice. Either we can serve Krishna's unlimited pleasureful body and therefore experience unlimited pleasureful types of experiences, or we can serve innumerable varieties of material bodies and suffer in different ways. Sometimes more in the lower form of life, sometimes less in the higher form of life. But the only alternative is suffering. Although we may want to worship some body that's going to cause us suffering, because that's our nature to worship. We may be proud, how I'm so faithful to my present material existence that no one can convince me to do anything else other than what my mind and senses demand me to do. I'm so independent of everyone, and I'm so dependent on my mind and senses. So we may be very proud like that, but that's just another symptom of illusion. An intelligent person, after hearing about Krishna, they try to worship Krishna, serve him, and see what the results will be. Otherwise, there is no alternative, whether we take shelter of Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola to serve our present material bodies. It's not a choice. Either way, we're going to die. Either way, we're going to grow old and become diseased. Either way, we have to get another body and suffer the reactions, whatever good and bad deeds we've done in this world. But only by taking shelter of Krishna can one transcend this so-called good and this so-called bad. Because actually it's all bad. Only service to Krishna is good. Everything else is ultimately bad. Of course, we don't decry those things which lead one to Krishna consciousness, and therefore sometimes pious activities, cultivation of knowledge, meditation are also encouraged because ultimately they may lead one to the path of devotional service. But unless they lead one to the path of devotional service, they're also considered to be a waste of time. Well, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you. There's one thing I've been thinking about is qualification to understand the qualities of Krishna and all, etc. There is many books on the street, and we meet people who have our books and can take on feedback. I recently met one simple bartender who had bought Chaitanya Charitamrita and liked it very much. Also, he said it's first a bit difficult to read, but then he got used to it and he was relishing it very much. And then I met one like highly educated engineer, and he said that he had bought this Prabhupada Lilamrita, but he couldn't understand anything about it because it made no sense to him what was happening. And I said, how can you not understand a simple book? It's too difficult, I can understand. So I was thinking, is this some negative qualification which blocks someone to understand even simple books, like some quality?
Yeah, same disqualification that blocks all of us, sinful activities. Yesham antikatam papam, jananam punyakarmanam, pedvanva mohanirmukva, bhajante mam jiravrata. Those who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life were free from the reactions of sinful activities can take the devotional service with determination. Otherwise, it's not possible. As long as one is engaged in sinful activities, one's consciousness is covered. It says, Nunap Paravastavadabodha Jato Divana Jignasidatma Tattva Divankriyas Tavididdhammanovai Karmatmakam Yena Sharira Bandaha. That as long as one is engaged in sinful activities, then one is said to be defeated by ignorance. And as long as one does not inquire about self-realization, or as long then the consciousness is the mind is unclear due to the sinful activities, and as long as the mind is unclear, consciousness will be unclear. And as long as consciousness is unclear, one will be forced to engage in so many materialistic activities. Therefore, it's the person who's starting to read Bhagavatam or Lilamrita, so they got some benefit, but they're not qualified to understand it unless they come to the association of devotees who can explain to them the process by which they can understand it more clearly or gradually, make some progress. Chanting Hare Krishna, for instance, is the principal process in this age so that one can begin to understand transcendental philosophy. And then giving up sinful activities. Otherwise, whatever we read, not only for that person, but all of us, whatever we read, whatever we hear, whatever we see, all we can do is investigate into the reservoir, into the collective reservoir of our past experiences to understand what's being presented to us. So if our whole lives, not only in this life, but in previous lifetimes, has always been principally sinful, we have nothing to find out, to relate to what we're hearing or experiencing presently, other than to something else which was equally sinful, or something which was sinful or bewildering. Therefore, some other experience has to be there. That other experience comes through principally by chanting Hare Krishna. And they're learning the art of living in the material world to perform pious activities and eventually rise up to the mode of goodness where one can accept devotional service. Raza, those who are atheistic, those who are deceitful, those who are anastic, and those who are foolish, they can't really take to the process of devotional service very easily. And people are not very willing to admit that they're sinful, they're atheistic, they're deceitful, and they're foolish. They think they're very progressive and enlightened and whatever else. Therefore, of course, Krishna consciousness to them will seem bewildering. Still, the person's fortunate. At least he knows there's something else which he can't understand. And one day, when he suffers enough, he may try to understand it. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthurai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kaur Premanande.
Hare Bol.
Yeah.